In association with For Whom, thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom, the podcast tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on February 4th, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and I am not joined by Ethan Lee today. He had some other activities to do, so he is not able to join me today on the show. So it's just going to be me. It's just going to be me here as I record on my birthday. Thank you for the birthday wishes I got out on Twitter. But anyways, this show is not about me. It's about Mississippi State, and that's what we're going to talk about. Today on the show, National Signing Day 2016, and I'm going to go over the signees that's going to be coming in to Mississippi State's football team here in the class of 2016, go over the day, look at around the SEC and look at all that recruiting. Mississippi State fell in basketball 82-80 in overtime to Alabama on Tuesday. I'll talk about that, and we got some questions, nothing much else to talk about. Mississippi State women's basketball does play LSU, but I sort of want to get this show quickly done. It's currently 11:10 p.m. as I'm recording, so I sort of just want to get the show over with and maybe a shorter show. But let's go ahead and start off with National Signing Day 2016, Mississippi State. Among the four major outlets on 24/7, the Bulldogs signed 31st class in the country, 11th in the SEC, or according to Rivals, the 36th nationally, 12th in the SEC Scout, 35th nationally, 11th in the SEC, and ESPN, 33rd nationally, 12th in the SEC. And if you're interested about just all that average, that it would be an average of the four would be 34th nationally and 12th in the SEC, which is rounded up from 11.5 or 11.5. Going into this day for National Signing Day 2016, it didn't look good. This recruiting class, really, these last couple of weeks has absolutely been infested with decommits. Decommits from guys like Raekwon Davis, Zach Farrar, and the recruitments of guys like Scott Lashley and A.J. Brown started to look pretty bad. On Tuesday, Scott Lashley, the offensive lineman from West Point, once a Mississippi State commit, was committed for about an hour, hour and a half before decommitting due to some issues with not telling his parents or something along those lines earlier in the summer of 2015. Seemed like a Mississippi State lock, even with the decommit. He seemed like he was going to be a Bulldog, West Point, just down the road from Starkville. But as we've seen, as his recruitment has gone on, as in the recent weeks, we've seen the chances of his going to Mississippi State start to decrease, and that was hit its climax on Tuesday as he committed to Alabama, ultimately signed with the Crimson Tide on Wednesday. And probably the biggest blow for Mississippi State, particularly just Mississippi State fans in general on Wednesday, was A.J. Brown. Going into today, not many people had much faith in A.J. Brown, the wide receiver out of Starkville. It seemed like he was going to be a Bulldog a couple of months ago. As his recruitment has gone on, we have noticed a bit of a slip in our chances of getting A.J. Brown, and it seems like Ole Miss and Alabama were the front runners in A.J. Brown's recruitment. Really, going into the day, for me at least, I just was saying I hope he goes to Alabama, because I didn't think he was going to have a shot. I didn't think we had a shot at him. As long as he didn't go to Ole Miss, I would be fine. And sure enough, A.J. Brown is an Ole Miss Rebel, signs with Ole Miss. to add to an already loaded wide receiver core over there, getting some great wide receivers, the two best receivers in the state of Mississippi, DK Metcalf, and now A.J. Brown adds on to that. But I'm gonna talk about A.J. Brown a little later in the show. So with all this being said, at around 10 a.m. Wednesday morning, Mississippi State fans were... many were panicking. It was horrible. Ole Miss fans were all over Twitter, on social media, making sure that Mississippi State fans knew that they were absolutely dominating the recruiting cycle. And at 11 a.m., there was just going to be another guy going to Ole Miss, more than likely, for his announcement. Five-star Jeffrey Simmons was definitely going to be going to Ole Miss. Not many Mississippi State fans had any hope and optimism about the five-star from Macon becoming a Bulldog. It seemed like he was an Ole Miss Rebel set in stone. And the next thing you know, Jeffrey Simmons signs with Mississippi State. He is a Bulldog, the second five-star signed by Mississippi State under Dan Mullen, defensive end from Macon. And the other five-star being Chris Jones, another defensive lineman. So we're replacing a five-star out of high school defensive lineman, or Chris Jones, who's headed to the NFL, and we're bringing in another five-star out of high school defensive lineman and Jeffrey Simmons to the team. So all of a sudden, with the signing of Jeffrey Simmons, there is an absolute boost in morale for Mississippi State. Once again, as I mentioned, it seemed like Mississippi State was down and out. Fans were very disappointed. Ole Miss fans made sure that we knew, hey, we're dominating you after the commitment of A.J. Brown to Ole Miss. And then Jeffrey Simmons signs with Mississippi State, and it seems like it took the air out of Ole Miss fans. Of course, Ole Miss ends up with a better recruiting class than Mississippi State does by a very large margin. But Jeffrey Simmons is something that Mississippi State needed, and without a doubt, no argument, the biggest signing Mississippi State's gotten this year, one of the biggest signings Dan Mullen's ever gotten. An absolutely huge signee for Mississippi State, not in terms of just a great player and talent coming to the Bulldogs, but for momentum and confidence. We needed this. It seemed like Ole Miss was dominating everything in the state, was just going to add another one with Jeffrey Simmons coming in, another five-star for the Rebels, taking them out of Mississippi State's hands, and we were able to sneak Jeffrey Simmons in with the signing. Other than Jeffrey Simmons, according to 24/7, a couple of other four-stars, Marquise Spencer from Greenwood, Mississippi, and a defensive end there, and Kobe Jones from Starkville, defensive tackle, another four-star. But looking back at the recruiting rankings, you know, not fantastic. It's sort of the average, with the exception of last year, 2015, sort of the average Mississippi State under Dan Mullen recruiting class in the early to mid 30s. It was a normal Dan Mullen recruiting class, but if it weren't for Jeffrey Simmons, this recruiting class could have been a lot worse. We could have been, just according to 24/7, 2 4-stars and a bunch of 3-stars. There aren't a lot of signees in this class. There are only 18 signees in this class. So Jeffrey Simmons was very unexpected, very little expectations of Jeffrey Simmons coming to Mississippi State. So if it weren't for Jeffrey Simmons, we'd be the 17th, we'd have 17 commitments, 17 signees in this class, led by 2 4-stars, and that was it. So Jeffrey Simmons, huge for the Bulldogs. But back to around the SEC, it's another Alabama. It wins the recruiting national championship once again, 6th straight year. Looked like LSU could have pulled it off for a little bit, but Alabama ended up signing some 5-stars late to take the breath out of the room for LSU. Mentioned Ole Miss having a fantastic class, sixth ranked in the country according to 24/7, 3 5-stars there, getting 2 of the top 4 recruits in the country. And other good classes from Georgia, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Texas A&M to round out the top 20. So that's just a little look around the SEC. And I'm just going to talk about my opinions of this recruiting class. Once again, as I mentioned, that it is a, it's a normal Dan Mullen recruiting class, early to mid-30s in the rankings, not a whole lot of truly true star power. We do have 2 4-stars and that 1 5-star in Jeffrey Simmons, number one recruit in the state there. But the rest of it is, are 3 stars. Beyond Simmons and the 2 4-stars, the rest of the class are, is made up of 3 stars. So that means 15 of our 18 signees coming into this class are 3 stars. And this, once again, a typical Dan Mullen class. Not a lot of star power, bringing in 3 stars that Dan Mullen, it's the Dan Mullen specialty, will be looking to develop. Not package talent overall, just, you know, we have the potential, and we're going to develop that potential, that under-the-radar, underrated potential into a possible NFL player for players like Dak Prescott, Jonathan Banks, Fletcher Cox in the past, to name a few, under Dan Mullen. You know, I would be very, I thought that I would be coming on this show doing nothing but venting about this recruiting class before Jeffrey Simmons signed. Jeffrey Simmons, as I've mentioned time and time again so far today, that it is a huge, it's huge for the momentum and confidence of this fan base, of this program, knowing that we can get a 5-star like Jeffrey Simmons, that talent that we already know is right there, knowing that we can get that kind of guy in a class like this where Mississippi State's been struggling, getting blown up and beat up and getting the snot knocked out of them in-state recruiting by their arch-rival in Ole Miss, but knowing that we can be able to pull a guy like Jeffrey Simmons is huge. And it gives me a lot better feeling about this class. With that being said, in terms of star power and overall just talent that you can look at immediately on recruiting rankings, it's not a fantastic class. You know, just a 5-star and 2 4-stars, it's not a fantastic class in terms of star power. But once again, that's usually the case for Dan Mullen. It's usually the case. It's what Mississippi State's been, with the exception of last year in 2009, last year in particular, Mississippi State has had classes like this, and it's turned out fine for us. It's turned out into bowl seasons and a 10-win season in 2014, made up primarily of recruiting classes that were in the 30s. So, but with that being said, I'm going to have to talk a little negatively here. We see other schools in the SEC. I mean, that ultimately makes sense that Alabama, LSU, and Tennessee, and Georgia, and Auburn are getting these dominant classes. But then you see the thing that flashes in front of your eyes, and that's Ole Miss. Seeing Ole Miss with the 6th-ranked recruiting class in the country, and it's in the top 10, consensus top 10 recruiting class, in the top 3 consensus in the Southeastern Conference alongside Alabama and LSU. You see this, and seeing guys like Shea Patterson, A.J. Brown, just to name a few, 3 5-stars coming in for Ole Miss, Greg Little at offensive lineman, I could go on, coming to Ole Miss, and this is star power immediately. I talked to Ethan about this on the last show, that this is talent that is frozen in a box, ready for you to take out, microwave, and let it grow. Pretty terrible analogy, but let it grow, just like a microwavable dinner food. It's right there, it's packaged, it's ready to go once you take it out of the box. And you see Ole Miss doing this, and Mississippi State's not doing this. In these last 2 years, you're starting to see the effects of it. In 2013, Mississippi State was able to beat Ole Miss, primarily because Ole Miss had the talent, just they were really young. 2014, you see the experience of Ole Miss with a team at Ole Miss, with an Ole Miss team that lost to Arkansas by 30. lost to a worse LSU team that one year by three, and losing to Auburn, who didn't finish all that great in 2014. And Mississippi State, who was an experienced team, a developed team, not a lot of overall true talent, like star talent out of high school, just developed talent, going up against a team that is full of five stars that are leading the team, and ultimately the talent beat out the development in 2014. And we saw it to an even bigger scale in 2015, where the talent absolutely beat the snot out of the development. And we're starting to see this. And this year is where really this gap between Ole Miss and Mississippi State is really starting to get bigger and bigger and bigger, with Ole Miss signing a top three class in the SEC, with Mississippi State finishing 11th and 12th consensus. That's a problem. Do I think that Mississippi State will continue to be a consistent bowl team? Yes, I truthfully do. I believe that we are very under Dan. As long as Dan Mullen's here, we are going to be a consistent bowl team, 8-9 wins per year, maybe the occasional 7-win team, for an inexperienced bunch, but still we will be winning 7, 8, 9 games per year with this going on. Now, that still leaves us with 3 or 4 losses per year. More than likely, those 3 losses or 4 losses will be coming at the hands of teams like Alabama, LSU, maybe Texas A&M, possibly. Texas A&M's starting to come under some hard times, didn't pull out a great recruiting class for their standards in the last couple of years, and we know about their situation with quarterbacks, and they're just in an unfortunate situation. But with the talent in the SEC, more than likely, those 3 or 4 losses will be coming at the hands of teams like LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Once again, I think that we'll be fine consistently in terms of winning games per year, making it to bowl games. But beating teams with talent, a lot more talent than Mississippi State, where Mississippi State just has development, and other teams like LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Auburn have talent. We're not going to be able to beat those teams. We were able to beat a couple of them, some of them in 2014. We beat LSU, Auburn, and Texas A&M. They had talent. They were young talent, and they really didn't, you know, the pieces were better than the sum of the parts, which was a problem. We see all 3 of those teams going 8-5 in 2014 and not living up to potential. In 2015, we see LSU, an okay team, not living up to their potential, but still beating us. Alabama, with the talent they have, absolutely murdering us. Texas A&M, with the talent they have, beating us by 13. And Ole Miss, with the talent they have, beating us by 11. And that game, as you all know, was much closer, was much worse than the score indicated. So in terms of the future, I think we're fine in terms of making it to bowl games, but trying to make that next step in winning the West, trying to overcome obstacles of talent like Alabama, LSU, and Ole Miss, we're not going to be able to do it. Am I content with this recruiting class? Yes, primarily because of one guy, Jeffrey Simmons. If Jeffrey Simmons didn't sign, I wouldn't be content with this recruiting class, and this would be a very good show. You wouldn't want to listen to this show, because it would just be me venting for a long time. But I'm happy with this class. It's a class. It's a typical Dan Mullen class. It'll keep getting us to bowl games, but in my opinion, it won't let us take that next step. And really quickly, but once again, I'm just going to try to wrap this up on a positive note. I think overall, it's a frustrating class in terms of just ranking and star power. But still, knowing it's a past Dan Mullen class, we should be content with it, knowing that we got a 5-star like Jeffrey Simmons and 2 4-stars, Marquis Spencer and Kobe Jones. Those are 3 very, very talented players that can be future NFL players, in addition to some diamonds in the rough with all these 3-stars. That could be the next Jonathan Banks or Fletcher Cox or Dak Prescott in the SEC. So those are my thoughts on the recruiting class. And I want to get into a player named A.J. Brown just briefly. I don't want to really talk about this a whole lot for obvious reasons. But A.J. Brown, Starkville High School, now an Ole Miss Rebel. Very frustrating. I've been seeing fans, you know, tweet. You know, A.J. Brown's taken to Twitter. He's deleted some of his tweets. I'll say this, that A.J. Brown is very C.J. Johnson-esque. Seemed like a lock for Mississippi State. Committed, seemed like he was going to Mississippi State, and all of a sudden he becomes a rebel and he starts bashing Mississippi State on social media. C.J. Johnson tends to love to pick fun at Mississippi State on social media. Once again, in his recruitment, committed to Mississippi State, ultimately becomes a rebel in the end and loves to make fun of Mississippi State. We see his profile picture, that picture of him with the golden egg in Starkville. But A.J. Brown's taken to Twitter and has talked about how, you know, Dan Mullen needs to talk to me more. He needed to talk to me more. I'm a hometown kid. You need to talk to me every day. You know, that's one, for one thing, talking to a recruit every day is kind of ridiculous. And no one should expect that, whether you be from Starkville or not. But I'm just going to primarily talk about the fans here for a second. Not necessarily A.J. Brown himself. But before I do, I'll mention A.J. Brown, my thoughts about A.J. Brown saying that I think it's frustrating. A.J. Brown is officially probably my most hated rebel on the team. A.J. Brown, that, it was sickening to see that. You know, if A.J. Brown hadn't have gone to Twitter and started to attack Mississippi State like he did, I would still not like him. But I wouldn't despise him like I do. I legitimately despise him. I think it's very frustrating and obnoxious that he did that. But, leading into my next point, he's a college kid, or he's a high school kid, going into college, making probably the toughest decision of his life. He didn't go to Mississippi State, and I'm as frustrated as you are that he didn't. I'm as disappointed. But don't go to Twitter and attack him. You know, a lot of people, I'm not necessarily for it, but if you want to tweet about A.J. Brown without mentioning him, go ahead. If you want to tweet at him, don't. I've seen a lot of fans go after him and call him names and do all this. Listen, once again, I'm as frustrated as you are. Just don't take it out on him. That's all I'm going to say about the fan part of it. And that was probably, you may think that was just some irrelevant mention note thing, but I just wanted to mention that really quickly. But just to wrap up recruiting, average 34th recruiting class in the country, 11 to 12 recruiting class in the SEC. Typical Dan Mullen class, not a lot of star power, plenty of three stars that under the radar, underrated class, members of this class that can be developed into great players. But of course, this class led by the unexpected, surprising, and absolutely beyond fantastic signing of five-star Jeffrey Simmons, the second five-star under Dan Mullen, joining Chris Jones in that category. So that will wrap it up for our recruiting talk. Maybe when Ethan comes back on Tuesday, he'll give his two cents about recruiting too, and we'll discuss that. And now to basketball. This was a pretty frustrating day on Tuesday. First of all, losing Scott Lashley to Alabama, and then losing this basketball game to Alabama, 82-80 in overtime. A game where Mississippi State, it seems at this point like a broken record, had their chances to win, just couldn't pull it out in the end. And it's obvious that this team just still doesn't know how to finish in these big kind of SEC games. But ultimately, just looking at the stats and watching the game in general, there are things immediately that stick out. Gavin Ware, career high 28 points for Gavin Ware in this one. This was a game where Mississippi State where Mississippi State thrived off of Gavin Ware down in the paint. We see Mississippi State outscore Alabama 50-30 in points in the paint. This is a game where Mississippi State shoots 3 of 18 from beyond the arc for 16.7%. This is a game where Mississippi State, from the field, we shot just fine, 33 for 71 for 46.5%. But we just really could not make the shots fall. This is a game where we got down low to Gavin Ware, and he did a majority of the work. The one thing that kept Mississippi State in this one was turnovers. Alabama committed 20 turnovers, and Mississippi State took advantage of that, outscoring Alabama in points off turnovers 23-15. That's an 8-point margin right there. But once again, for Mississippi State, we couldn't get anything going shooting the ball. We see Malik Newman probably have the worst game of the season, probably of his career. 3 points for Malik Newman, only taking 4 shots, 1 of 4. Alabama was able just to completely take Malik Newman out of the scenario, which is one of the biggest reasons why we had to feed Gavin Ware so much down low. It was a good game for Travis Daniels, considered a forward. He's more of a guard type build, but in terms of size on this team, Travis Daniels is one of the bigger guys on our team. 11 points for Travis Daniels. And the other one, Craig Sward, with 10 points. A solid 10 points for Chicken. But once again, this game was a Gavin Ware show with 28 points. We kept feeding him down low, and he kept taking advantage. A problem was he got in foul trouble. He had to sit out for a very good large portion of the second half due to foul trouble. But the weird thing about this game was in that second half, when we see Gavin Ware sitting on the bench, it seemed like Mississippi State's offense started to pick up. I'm going to try to pull up the exact margin here. Excuse me for a second. We were down by 9. 51-42 with 13 minutes and 11 seconds left, an Alabama 9-point lead, and Gavin Ware goes to the bench. And we ultimately dominate the game from then on out. I'll say this, that Gavin Ware wasn't on the bench when we were down by 9. He went out of the game with... when we were down by 3, he was in the game for the beginning of the comeback, but he came out, and that's when Mississippi State's offense really started to truly click. Going from 51-42, Alabama, to ultimately taking a 64-57 lead for Mississippi State. That is a 23... trying to do math off the top of my head here. I'm not good at math, for those who don't know. 22-5 run. Yeah. 22-5 run. Over the next 8 minutes. Without Gavin Ware in the game. And Mississippi State takes this 64-57 lead with 5 minutes left. Gavin Ware comes in, and I'm not saying all of this to blame Gavin Ware for the loss. Gavin Ware is the only reason why we stayed in the game. He had 28 points. We kept feeding him down low, and that's really all we could do offensively, consistently throughout the game. But once Gavin Ware comes back in, it seemed like I don't know what's up. Maybe our guards are being less aggressive. I really don't know. But Alabama was able to storm back, take it, and tie it 67-67. We get the ball back with 10 seconds left in the game, and it was one of the weirdest sequences of events I've ever seen. A missed free throw by Craig Sward, an offensive rebound by IJ Reddy, and then IJ Reddy ultimately getting the rebound from Craig Sward's miss, getting it blocked, and then ultimately getting the ball back but tripping. And that's how the second half ended. Going in, this game went into overtime, tied at 67. Mississippi State got the hot hand early, 71-67. And it was really a back-and-forth battle in overtime until about a minute left. Alabama took a three-point lead, had a three-point lead with 9 seconds left. And what resulted was the dumbest series of events I've ever seen. This is an experienced group from Mississippi State that either doesn't know the rules of basketball or clearly just does not know, they do not know how to add and subtract. Because we were down by three with 9 seconds left. We got the ball. So think of this. We have the ball. Down three with 9 seconds left in the game. What do you do in that scenario? Down three. You know, there's a thing called a three-point shot. There's a little semicircle that goes around the free throw line on the basketball court. And if you shoot behind it and make it, you get 3 points. So we're down 3 points. 9 seconds left. We have the ball. You'd expect us to do that, right? It's common sense. You shouldn't expect it. You should know we're going to do it. It's common sense. So what do we do? What do we do? IJ Reddy decides to drive in the paint, miss a layup. We get the offensive rebound with 3 seconds left. Travis Daniels gets the offensive rebound with 3 seconds left. Once, it was dumb by IJ Reddy to attempt a layup in that scenario. We didn't have any timeouts. That's the thing. We didn't have any timeouts. It would make a little tiny bit of sense, although it really wouldn't make all that much sense, but it would still make a little tiny bit of sense, if any, if we had a timeout to make a layup with 3 seconds left. But we didn't have any timeouts. IJ Reddy decides to shoot a layup. Now, that was dumb of him. Travis Daniels gets the offensive rebound. What should he do? Kick it out and get a quick three. Someone behind the arc just flinging it up and hope for the best. What does he do? He decides to attempt another layup. Dumbest thing I've ever... These last 4 years for Mississippi State basketball are some of the worst overall sports I've ever seen any team play. And that is the climax of the last 4 years. If you want a representation of how the last four years have gone for Mississippi State basketball, look no further than that 9 second sequence of events that happened at the end of this game. It was a pathetic way to lose. Absolutely pathetic way to lose. Other problems for Mississippi State in this one. Alabama just, they shot the ball impeccably. They shot the ball incredibly. 46.6% from the field, 37.9% from beyond the arc. We see four players for Alabama getting double digits. Riley Norris with 16, Arthur Edwards with 12, Justin Coleman with 15, and without a doubt the performance of the day from Retton Obasahan, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, with 25 points. I tweeted with about 10 minutes left to go in the first half. Obasahan was starting to get that hot hand. I said, he's going to score 30 tonight, isn't he? And he sure got close, just 5 points short there. One thing that Mississippi State's sort of been struggling on as of late is free throw shooting. Something that Mississippi State's really improved from the last couple of years was shooting from the free throw line, but struggle in these last two matchups. 11 for 16 in this one for 68.8%, but that really wasn't a major problem. I just wanted to mention that. But yeah, that's my 2 cents on this one. Mississippi State falls 82-80 to Alabama, and it's only going to get tougher. We're traveling to Baton Rouge in a game that I'm not going to preview. I'll go ahead and just give a prediction out here, but this is a game where Ben Simmons and his LSU Tigers, you know, a team that's underperformed with the amount of talent that they have, but they've certainly had their moments, beating Kentucky by 18, nearly beating Oklahoma. They've had their lows, but they've definitely had their ups, and it'll be on ESPN2 Saturday at 5 p.m. I ultimately think that this one, Ben Simmons, will ultimately just have a field day I'm just going to say LSU wins it 84-68 in this one. Not a lot of confidence. Sorry for not a preview. I just wanted to give a prediction, but I sort of just want to wrap the show up because I'm getting pretty tired. It's 11:45 right now. But yeah, we traveled to LSU, and we'll talk about that game on Tuesday. So we're going to end the show with some questions. Let me pull them up here. What was the best birthday present of the day when Jeffrey Simmons signed with Mississippi State? Number three, do you have a birthday story that will rival Ethan's bicycle story? It's a problem because I don't even remember what his bicycle story was. I guess... No, I don't. I'll tell you this, Mr. Vanderloop. On Tuesday, I will do the final thoughts segment, and I will find a story that I can tell. I haven't had much time to think about it, but I'll be sure to tell a story on Tuesday. Number four, is it okay if I tweet recruits now? No, absolutely not. I've already seen people start tweeting 2017 recruits. We're in the 2017 recruiting season, and that still means no tweeting recruits. No tweeting recruits 24/7, 365 days a year, every single year of your entire life. No tweeting recruits. So the answer to your question is no. Number five, why do I let the men's basketball team rip my heart out of my chest, throw it on the ground, kick it, stomp it, kick it again? Mr. Vanderloop, we're all going through this problem. We need to go through it together, as a family, as a brotherhood, because we're all going through this. You're not alone. The answer is, I don't know. I don't know why they do it. They do it to me. They do it to every other State fan. I'll just say this. It's baseball season. It is baseball season. And the women's basketball team is still playing too. So there we go. Number six. In Sunday's Super Bowl, will you be pulling for the Broncos or against the Panthers? You know, it's really difficult because I love Peyton Manning with all my heart. He's the only Manning that made a good choice. And then there's... of course, Panthers, Cam Newton. I don't know, really, if I'm pulling harder for Peyton or harder against Cam. I'm just going to say it's both, because I despise Cam Newton with all my heart, and I love Peyton Manning so much. So I'm just going to say both. So yeah, that's it for the questions. Thank you, Mr. Vanderloop, for sending them in. And that will just about wrap it up for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls. On Tuesday, we will talk about Mississippi State's game against LSU on Saturday. That will happen. If Ethan wants to, he can give his 2 cents on recruiting. I don't know if he will or not, but if so, we'll do that. And any other Mississippi State news that breaks until then. But until Tuesday, until next time, I'm Daniel Black. Thank you all for listening, and everyone be sure to be very quality.